We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Andy Benoit, SI, covers the NFL, is the NFL podcast for Sports Illustrated as well. Andy, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. Yeah, hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you with us. And, you know, another season, and there is some optimism for the Browns. Obviously, it's not quite the optimism of last year. And we were, you know, I'm usually pretty pessimistic about the Browns, Andy. I don't think I'd ever pick the Browns in the 10 years we've been doing the show to win more than like six games. And last year I went nuts. I think I picked them to win 10 or 11. And obviously I was way, way, way off. So I'm being more cautious this year. What is your impression of this team, even though we know it's been so hard to get any info because you're not seeing much coverage, but what's your impression of the Browns heading into the season?
Well, I think the offense is very talented, and the pieces fit together really well, and especially given how Kevin Stefanski is going to want to play. You know, teams tell you how they feel by the decisions they make in personnel, and Cleveland's not very deep at wide receiver, and yet they didn't go out and really pursue any major receivers. They did keep David Njoku, even though most teams would have traded him with this kind of offseason that he's had. They signed a fullback in Andy Janovich. And they drafted a tight end in the fourth round, I believe. So they're clearly invested in base personnel. And that's how Stefanski played in Minnesota and what base personnel does for you besides giving you more dimension in the run game, which is not a bad idea when you have Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. It gives you base coverages in your passing game if you're throwing the ball on first and second down. Now you're getting into the play-action stuff. And I really think that's where Mayfield's at his best and will be his most comfortable. He's been better out of two tight end sets for a lot of his career. Where he struggled last season, it was right out of the gates, and he never really got over it. We're against two deep disguised zone coverages. You don't get a lot of two deep disguised zone on first and second down. You almost get none of it, in fact. So it's going to be a simpler passing game in that sense for Mayfield, and Mayfield's capable of doing anything in a passing game. So I think the simpler approach is more about just finding a rhythm for him and playing in a quarterback-friendly atmosphere. They're going to get that by throwing the ball out of their run formations, and they'll be an effective running team too.
Andy, you had a tweet here this morning, I believe. You talked about the NFL leaders in INTs, including dropped INTs, that stem from good defense, where Stephon Gilmore, Denzel Ward, and Joe Hayden each had five. That's good news for the Browns. Not good news because they don't have Joe Hayden anymore, but they've got Denzel Ward.
Yeah, Ward's a really good player. Hayden had a great year last year, I thought. And I know there were people within the league, coaches, that he got the better of on their offenses, and they had a lot of respect for him too. But Denzel Ward's a really good cornerback, a good all-around guy. And there aren't a lot of guys. Chris Harris was like this. I don't know if he quite still is or not. He's not going to be asked to in the Chargers scheme anyway, but there aren't a lot of corners who can match up in solo coverage against the undersized number one receivers. Think the Antonio Brown style of wide receiver. Ward is equipped to do that. He's a versatile guy, and I think he can cover bigger guys too if he needs to. So and his mechanics, his techniques are pretty polished in man and zone. I think he's a top 10 corner right now and a chance to be much better than that even.
We're talking with Andy Benoit from SI about the start of the NFL season. Andy, obviously, you know, we've talked about Baker Mayfield a lot. I'm sure you have. We all have. And that's going to be a big deciding factor. We can talk about all these things. We can talk about Denzel Ward and Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. It ultimately comes down to the coach and the quarterback, right? And that's the unknowns. We don't know about the coach. And in terms of the quarterback, great rookie year, bad second year. A lot of mystery as to what to expect. Which of the first two Baker Mayfield seasons do you believe is the anomaly?
I think last season's probably more the anomaly. I think you can play with Baker Mayfield. There's a decisiveness to him. He did not throw the ball as well last year as he's capable of for whatever reason. It's probably one of those things where it's a bunch of little reasons. Gets back to finding an approach and a style of play that's consistent and friendly to your quarterback. And I think, again, throwing the ball on those early downs like Stefanski will do, I think stylistically that fits Mayfield really well. So I'm optimistic for that quarterback marriage. And Stefanski's cut out to be a head coach. See, some guys just have that temperament and personality. He's been around the league a long time. He grew up around professional sports. He's coached a lot of different positions and under a lot of different regimes. And he has always been a team guy in the truest sense. He has a great sense of who he is and a great natural security that's really going to help him deal with whatever pressure comes of being a head coach in the NFL.
Andy, how do you attack Lamar Jackson in this Ravens offense this weekend if you're the Cleveland Browns?
I probably play zone because I don't, you know, if I'm the Browns, I don't quite know what I have at linebacker or safety. And that's a problem when you're facing right. A team that likes to throw the ball to its tight ends as much as Baltimore does. So I probably play zone coverages. And, you know, what Cleveland, I don't know exactly what Cleveland will do. Their coaches have been pretty tight-lipped about their defensive scheme so far. Jeff Howard's their passing game coordinator, though. Joe Woods will run the defense, but Jeff Howard comes from Minnesota, and in Minnesota, that scheme was built on cover four, or quarters coverage, where each cornerbacks and safeties each take one-fourth of the field. And you play a little more shallow as a safety in cover four, and the reason for that is because you have run-gap responsibilities. You're almost essentially a linebacker who lines up deeper. So you're an important player in that scheme. And they've got Sendejo and Carl Joseph there. You know, those are solid safeties who at least can play fast downhill at times. I would imagine they're going to do a lot of that because the one team that really gave Baltimore trouble with their run game last year, their run defense, is the only team that really outplayed Baltimore in the ground game was the Buffalo Bills last season. And Buffalo's whole scheme was predicated on cover four in that game. So I would imagine we'll see some variation of that because you can't let Lamar Jackson's legs beat you. As crazy as that sounds, because it seems almost impossible to take him away, but you have to have an answer for that, and having your safeties as the outside run defenders could be a good solution.
Andy Benoit is with us from SI. Andy, I saw something you tweeted out, I think it was yesterday, and you were giving some stats on interceptable passes from quarterbacks, and he said Russell Wilson threw just one interceptable ball against zone coverage all season last year. And it reminded me of the fact that Russell Wilson has never in his entire career received an MVP vote, not a single one. How is that possible?
Yeah, well, I mean, what really shocks me is the media loves Russell Wilson. I mean,
yeah.
The people voting for him are huge fans of him, and I understand that. So, that shocks me as well. You know, he's really only – and he's so much better now than he was a few years ago. And so if you're talking about MVP votes, and then it's also a function of what are the guys around him doing because, you know, he's just one man. If someone – Lamar Jackson had an incredible season last year and took away the MVP votes that would have gone to Russell Wilson. It doesn't have anything to do with Wilson. But I think he's such a better quarterback now than he was a few years ago, and it's a credit to everybody because the Seahawks have amended the way they play to really accommodate Wilson's strengths, and his strengths are throwing the ball deep and throwing the ball on the move and sometimes doing those two things at the same time. And so they understand they're another team that they bring their passing game out of their running game. They run the ball as much as anybody in the league. I think that drives some Seahawks fans nuts because they don't really have a great running game necessarily. But all of that, those run formations set up your deeper dropbacks because you have extra blockers in there to block it up. And that's where you get your deep shots, and that's really where Wilson's at his best. So they've found a way to play with Wilson. They've tweaked their offense to have solutions for when he runs around. It's not chaos when he runs around. They're organized there, and he's become a really great quarterback overall. I've been impressed with him.
Hey, what do you think about Tampa Bay this season with Tom? And, you know, people have been hyping up the Fournette signing, as if that's going to put him over the hump and all that. I already think that they were good before that, but what's your take on Tampa Bay's chances this season?
I think their chances are very good. It's a complete offense on paper. Now, their O-line struggled a lot last season, and that was, you know, the biggest problem was Jameis Winston turned the ball over too much. But along with that, and factoring into that equation a bit, was their offensive line really was very inconsistent in areas where they needed them to hold up. And Bruce Arians' system, it does put a lot of onus on the offensive linemen. It's a lot of one-on-one blocking with five-step timing dropbacks. Usually it's only three-step timing drops if you're going to have everybody block one-on-one. Arians will say, we're going to drop back and be aggressive and throw it downfield anyway, the whole no risk it, no biscuit thing. So you ask a little more of your linemen when you do that, and I'm really curious to see how Tom Brady responds to that kind of approach. He hasn't had to do that a lot in his career. He did in 2017 play that way. The Patriots were a little different that year. They went to the Super Bowl. They lost to Philadelphia. But I thought that was one of Brady's best seasons as a pro. So I'm eager to see how this whole experiment goes.
Andy, speaking of Tampa Bay, one of my choices here, three guys that have popped up on the injury report this week that all look like they're either not going to play or either definitely not going to play or probably not going to play. Biggest deal. Mike Evans with Tampa Bay, Kenny Golladay with Detroit, or Geno Atkins in Cincinnati.
Yeah, that hurts. As far as who's the biggest loss to their team within the context of how they play, like you're saying, all those guys are a big deal. When you take a number one receiver out of the passing game, which Evans is a true number one receiver for Tampa, and then Golladay is right on the cusp of being that, and he's certainly their number one receiver.
That Lions play the domino. Bears.
The Bears. Bears, okay. Yeah. That can have a real domino effect. You know, I would probably say Evans out of the equation against the Saints because that's the matchup you have to deal with. Evans has always struggled against Marshawn Lattimore, too, though. So, you know, maybe it's not as big a loss in this instant as it might normally be. But and keep in mind, if the guys do play, it's easy to forget this. If it's, you know, 50-50 whether they play or not, there's a good chance if they do play, they're not going to be themselves anyway. So the fact that we're even discussing any of it is a problem for those teams.
True.
How do you think the product looked last night in the NFL game overall? I mean, obviously it's different with COVID, but I watched it on TV and thought it was a pretty normal game.
Yeah, well, and I watch almost everything on film anyway, so I'm used to seeing football with no sound at all. But I did think it was a little bit eerie feeling and a little disappointing in that sense. But then when you think of the alternative and how really incredible it is that they're even in this position to be playing a full schedule and have basically the whole league healthy. I mean, the COVID list is minuscule right now. You know, that's a pretty great outcome. And that's one that I'm sure everybody who loves football would have said, yeah, we'll take that for sure. If that's what week one will be. And I bet the NFL never thought that it would be as successful as it has so far. So I've been impressed with the league, and I'm just grateful we have any football.
Yeah, and I feel, you know, a lot of people feel that way, and we've heard a lot of players say that in interviews, like we didn't know if we were going to play. And that's, yeah, there's really a lot of truth to that. And right now things are really promising in terms of the COVID numbers for players and coaches have been real down. We got to see what happens once they start playing. But so far, so good. Really positive. What, you know, let me throw a couple of games at you here, Andy, this week. And let's start in this division. We talked about the Browns and Ravens already. How about the Steelers, who will play the Giants on Monday Night Football? What are you expecting from them with Big Ben? I heard Big Ben the other day say he's as nervous as he's ever been. What are your expectations for him both this week against the Giants on Monday Night Football and for the season?
Well, I'm not going to question how a guy feels, but I would be surprised if he's more nervous than he was as a rookie quarterback starting the Super Bowl or a second-year QB in the Super Bowl when he was really young and brand new. But I don't know, because it's a question of how his elbow respond, and that's probably to some degree why he's saying he's nervous and ready to go and eager and all those things. If he's right, if he's close to what he normally has been, then that team's very much a contender because their defense is one of the best in the NFL, and their offense really it's built on relying on the playmaking at the quarterback position. They don't just line up and out execute you. They rely on that playmaking from Big Ben.
Andy, before I let you go, Last thing, will the Browns make the playoffs in 2020? Will they end this schneid?
That's probably a tad optimistic, I would say. I mean, the AFC is pretty deep this year. That AFC South has three teams that could win that division. I think the AFC East has a couple, and Miami's going to be better. Buffalo's a contender, and it's hard to say New England, even though it's a different New England team. It just feels weird to say, oh, they're not going to make the playoffs. So I probably would err on the side of no with the Browns, but that I'm not going to – my jaw's not hitting the floor if it happens.
Andy, we appreciate it, man. Thank you for joining us.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.